Hey guys, it's Jess with a quick soundbite here. I wanted to talk today a little bit about how our parents' sensory processing differences and their attachment styles, or even their own lagging skills, can influence our patients and their progress. And this is something that I think we don't probably think about enough. I occasionally have a patient here and there that is a nice reminder for me to think about those things. And I had one this week, so it made me think of it. A parent said to me, you know, I realized that I'm quite auditorily sensitive, which for her is quite a mismatch for her kiddo, who is a huge auditory seeker and is making constant noise. So we started kind of talking about, you know, what strategies can we use to help both minimize your sensory oversensitivity. You know, we talked about noise canceling headphones and earplugs and getting auditory breaks, but then also when you can't get away from it, how can we help your child get this auditory input that he really needs in a way that's less disruptive to you? We talked about maybe trying music and seeing if that maybe made a difference. Directed auditory input, he gets to hear it rather than him making the sound, or if it at least helps him to have a different auditory output. Right now he's making lots of like clicking and random sounds. So maybe that would help him sing instead. And maybe that type of auditory information would be less disruptive to the mom, because we're trying to work on reducing mom's dysregulation so she can help support this child's regulation, because he's very overstimulated. So it came up and I thought this would be a great chance to chat about it. In figuring out, is it a supportive match or is it a mismatch? And I think it's an important conversation to have with parents too, of like, hey, you're not doing anything wrong, but you just might have kind of a mismatch with your kid, and that's okay. We don't obviously get to choose how our kids process information or how we process information. We might have patients or parents who show affection through touch, but they might end up with a kid who has tactile sensitivity. You might get, if you think about just general processing information, a kiddo who needs lots of praise and support, but who has a mom who has attention difficulties herself. I had a patient like this once, and it was another one of those aha moments where I thought to myself, wow, what a huge impact this parent-child dynamic makes. I had a little guy with suspected ADHD himself, and he was having a really hard time staying regulated and staying focused, but also a really hard time with postural stability, motor planning, and confidence. And he needed lots and lots of praise. And mom would come in with the younger sibling, who was very busy. He was like a little toddler kind of running around the clinic, and you could see that she was very easily distracted. So she's like on her phone, then she's like following the other kid around all over the place. She couldn't keep that kid contained. It takes a lot of mental energy to keep a kid engaged and focused and help them regulate, and you could see that she couldn't do that with the younger sibling. So she's spending all of her energy trying to keep that kiddo safe and contained, and it's taking all of her attention. Meanwhile, her other son, who's a little older, probably 4 or 5 at the time, he's working with me, and he's going up and down the balance beam, and he's so excited because he's doing great. And he says, "Mom, look, Mom, look." And she, without even looking up, because she's still focused on her other kid, said, "That's great, honey," and kept walking. And I watched this kid fully deflate. I mean, he was so defeated, and he basically abandoned the task after that. And I thought, oh man, mom missed this opportunity to praise him, to connect with him, to motivate him. And it led to him avoiding the task and becoming distracted on something else. And she didn't even realize, because of her own difficulty processing information. And then on top of that, I mean, if you're trying to keep a kid who's already distracted on track, if you also have executive functioning difficulties, it's going to be extremely hard. So this was also a situation where this mom was having a hard time feeling like she could keep her child safe because it was taking up so much of her mental energy. Then I've also had patients where maybe the mom is very animated and excited and talks a lot, kid on my caseload currently, and the child was really sensitive. He really wanted the praise. He would get so excited when mom praised him, but she did it so loudly and was too much excitement, he would cover his ears. It was too overwhelming. So we had to talk a lot about how she needs to adjust her excitement to meet him where he's at. So So lots of differences in the way we process sensory input, but also how we connect and attach and feel love from other people. If you think to like the love languages, you know, sometimes people enjoy verbal connection or they enjoy touch-based connection. And all of these things are sensory experiences in our body that our patients might have trouble taking in, or vice versa, the parent might have trouble taking it in. So instead of then having this very healthy relationship, there's kind of this mismatch where the kid maybe isn't feeling, they're not getting what they need, or they're getting something that is too overwhelming for them. I think this applies to not just sensory pieces, but their facial expressions, the tone of voice that they use, how much verbal praise they give kids. Some kids need a ton of verbal praise, and some parents just aren't good at giving it. They just, that's not how they connect. You might have a patient or a parent that has really high affect versus really low affect. I've got another kiddo on my caseload right now that the parents are very different. I think this is also a great reason why we should try to meet both parents if we can, because you might see how it impacts the child a lot more. So this little guy, he tends to tune out and get more disengaged and more dysregulated, and he usually is more quiet with mom. But mom tends to be a very high-paced, big voice, lots of language, and not a lot of pausing and pacing. She's not great at slowing her verbal information down, pausing and waiting for him to process and giving him the space. And she gives him so much praise because she gets so excited, but it's too much sensory information for him. On the flip side, dad is very muted, very like low energy, very slow with his voice, lots of pauses. And sometimes that's, for the most part, that's generally more beneficial for this patient. But in some areas, it's harder then to keep him engaged because dad tends to be a little bit under responsive in a sense, like low affect, not a lot of facial expressions, kind of a monotone voice. But he generally stays better regulated with dad. So I think these are a couple things to think about, and if you're feeling like there might be a mismatch with the parent and the kid, you might see it with them having more trouble with one parent over the other. You might see it with them having more trouble at home versus in the therapy room or in school. And a couple of ways to bring this up with the parent is you could direct them to the love languages. There's some free like quick quizzes that they have online. You would have the parent, probably parent fill it out for themselves and have them fill it out for their child as well to see once they score it, is there a difference? You can also have the parent fill out our adult sensory profile. I'm totally fine with you using it, even though the parent technically isn't our patient, but we do have adult sensory profiles. I've done this in the past before for parents because the parents were coming and saying like, I feel like I have this discrepancy, or for some of my adult patients where they're like, I feel like we have this difference in the way we're processing information, and having them both fill it out. I usually just use one form because it's informal. Use one form and have them each fill it out and then score it and show them, here's how you score for your own sensory processing, and let's compare that to what your kid scores. And then you can see where these differences are. And a lot of times it comes down to somebody taking some kind of input and the other person's too sensitive to it. And I think having that information and that knowledge can be really helpful to help them have a little more self-awareness and make some modifications to make all those interactions more successful. If you have any questions or you end up doing a sensory profile and you want some help interpreting information or thinking about how to discuss this with a parent, let me know.